Digital Talk Radio. Chuck Wilder here. I've got Jeremy Dayton at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Michael Cutler, retired senior special agent of the Immigration Naturalization Service, going to have his latest Biden Ends War on Radical Islamic Terrorists over here and over there. In the second hour, the world-famous Selwyn Duke from The New American, all of his latest, including this Dutch Christian city in Iowa, allows trans teen girl to go topless in a public pool. All right. Well, in the news, got to say, it must be a good job, you know, Congress, where the rich keep getting richer. And I'm not talking about, you know, Hunter Biden's art either. Are you ready for this? Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, invested millions of dollars in Amazon options shortly before a surprise announcement from Joe Biden's administration that would benefit the company massively. The Pentagon announced this week that it is canceling its multi-billion dollar contract with Microsoft and starting a new one that Amazon will likely participate in. The sudden announcement that saw Amazon's share price fall to an all-time high comes just 6 weeks after Paul Pelosi, must have had ESP or something, right? Pumped millions in the company's call options. Now, on Tuesday, the Biden Pentagon abruptly announced that it was canceling its multi-billion Jedi cloud service contract with Microsoft. So you got your Congress pay, you got your winery, you got this. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Now you know why they campaign so hard. Well, the second largest defense contractor in America is imposing an anti-racist program now using critical race theory, arguing that white or straight or Christian men should identify your privilege, participate in reparations, and decolonize your bookshelf. Raytheon Technologies Corporation implemented a program titled Stronger Together as leading critical race theory opponent and investor Christopher Rufo, who obtained documents and videos from a whistleblower, reported. And Rufo told Fox News' Tucker Carlson, quote, "They launched this really political indoctrination program teaching employees to judge each other on the basis of race, asking employees actually to identify one another on the basis of race during conversations. They provided specific rules for white employees, how to speak to black employees, and they even said that employees should reject the principle of equality and favor equality of outcomes, which is a synonym for socialism, or maybe communism. And it's really astonishing because this is one of the largest corporations in the world. It manufactures key defense armaments. And yet, it has been captured by this woke ideology that seems to be no to the dominant force, not only in education and in government, but also in business. Raytheon Technologies." Let us go to Palmdale, California. Being followed when they leave the house, being shown pictures of a bullet-ridden truck with a person still inside, encountering aggressive drivers on the road, having illegal grow houses next door, having water stolen from their farms, these are some of the examples of what northern Los Angeles County residents say they have experienced by the people who are now running the illegal marijuana farms. The residents, close to a dozen, gathered on Tuesday to share their stories to hear an update on law enforcement taking action against the drug-growing operations. They all wanted to remain anonymous out of fear of retaliation from the cartels. Representative Mike Garcia, Republican California, L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva, told the meeting when they each did an air tour on the areas of North L.A. County, they realized it was as bad as the calls were saying it was. The problem has been persistent for a while, but it gained major steam within the last year. Quote, "We did a survey way back in 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic. 150 illegal grows, the ones you can count easily from the air. So when we did it again this year, that number grew to 500. 500 in 1 year. So there was a noticeable shift in acceleration, Villanueva explained, adding the illegal dispensaries are outnumbering the legal businesses 50 to 1. Now, in neighboring San Bernardino County, Villanueva said law enforcement there counted over 860 illegal marijuana farms when they conducted their own survey. In June, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department and the Drug Enforcement Administration launched an operation to destroy the illegal pot farms and confiscate the plants. With the operation lasting 10 days, Villanueva said they were only able to knock out about 40% of the known illegal marijuana farms, about 1.2 billion dollar street value marijuana, over 90 firearms, by the way, confiscated. He also said that while they have the manpower, the will, and the plans to continue combating the illegal growing operations, the constant issue is funding. The increase in cartel activity in northern L.A. County is occurring at the same time as violent crime is rising in the metropolitan areas, and the Sheriff's Department is operating with $145 million fewer dollars in its budget. Now, with the massive number of illegal farms, the biggest issue is the same as anyone who lives in the desert: climate, water. Each plant requires 3 gallons of water per day. Are you listening, Newsom? Maybe that's where your water's... No, anyway. And this causes the cartels to steal the water from residents and farms. Quote, I have within a mile probably 4 or 5 illegal pot farms. They've been busted a few times. They're outside. They're not in the houses, one resident told me, adding that it's not the drug that's the issue. It's the people behind the drug. Everything they're doing to the environment and to the groundwater, they were stealing our water. They had a mile and a half water line that went across the road. They were pumping the water out, and our water company only services 35 homes, so once the water's gone, it's gone. And one couple described how, while hiking in the places they have hiked for years, one of the cartel workers approached and threatened them to never return to this area. The guy rolled his R's, yes. Quote, he showed us a picture of a truck, by the way. They have pictures of us. They know where we live. And he showed us a truck with 3 bullet holes in it, and the guy was still in it. And he said, this is what will happen to you if you come back out again. So we are always followed, and they're always watching us, and they watch us all the time, they said. We're not sure what to do at this point because we hiked those mountains for 25 years, numerous times, never been bothered. Now we can't even do anything. We're scared. We go out into our yard, and they're right there. Well, pretty long report there, but Villanueva told the meeting of many of the workers that they took into custody during an operation were in the country legally. Some had come to the United States only a week before. Woo! Well, my comment on that, Kamala Harris, you just give her a call. Say, get out here and rescue us. Yes. Look how short the distance will be, and look how far away you'll be from El Paso, and look how far away you'll be from the actual trouble on the border. Well, Georgia deputies captured a suspect in connection with a triple homicide at the Pine Tree Country Club, Cobb County, last week that left a golf pro and 2 out-of-state men dead. U.S. Marshals led Southeast Regional Fugitive Task Force took 23-year-old Brian Roden into custody when he surrendered, according to Fox 5 reporting last evening. Now, that's about 25 miles southeast of where the police found 3 bodies on a golf course July 3rd. Roden allegedly gunned down golf pro Gene Soller, 41, near the 10th hole. Police previously said that they believe Soller was not initially a target, but was shot in the head after approaching the suspicious truck, which had careened onto the golf course. And police found the bodies of California resident Henry Valdez, 46, Kansas resident Paul Pearson, 76, in the bed of the white Dodge pickup truck stuck on the hill in the golf course. Cobb County Police Chief Tim Cox said during an evening news report last night, briefing that Roden would face 3 counts each of murder and aggravated assault, as well as 2 counts of kidnapping. He added that investigators could still pursue additional charges. Michael, Aviente, a.k.a. the creepy porn lawyer, actually broke down and sobbed in court as the judge sentenced him to 30 months in prison yesterday. Anti-Trump, Aviente's trademark swagger, visibly absent as he wept over his jail sentence for extorting sports clothing giant Nike. Quote, "I alone have destroyed my career, my relationships, and my life," 50-year-old Aviente said as he cried uncontrollably before the federal court judge, Paul Grabuti, according to CNBC. "And there's no doubt I need to pay." Well, the judge appeared to agree about the need to pay and dropped the gavel on 2.5 years behind the bar for the sleazy lawyer. Aviente, in case you don't remember him too much, he rose to the media darling status by trashing then-President Donald Trump while he was representing porn star Stormy Daniels in her lawsuits against Trump. I saw a report on this last night, and they were talking about how the mainstream media just loved this guy. You know, he was going to be your next president. And he got, I think it was 413 interviews on the mainstream media. Well, an interesting story entitled Woke Pro BLM Store Looted by Black Lives Matters. Jay Greenberg, Pro BLM store Neiman Marcus, San Francisco, robbed by BLM mobs, a woke store that is in San Francisco, that actually bent over backwards to appease Black Lives Matter. The Neiman Marcus clothing store was raided this week by at least 10 criminals who claimed to be protesting for racial equality. The oppressed peoples who clearly live in constant fear that they could be killed by racist white police goes on and on and on. And a video clip of the robbery shows security guards filming the robbery on their phones from across the street. The security guards do nothing to intervene as the criminals make an easy getaway in their new expensive designer outfits. Now, Neiman Marcus was targeted despite prostrating itself for Black Lives Matter after the store was looted last year in honor of George Floyd. Quote, "This is an opportunity to bring beauty to our city and our communities, to show Neiman's support to the Black Lives Matter movement." Well, they got looted again. Back in April, and listen to this, despite having donated $200 million to Black Lives Matter causes in the past year, Foot Locker saw more of its stores looted in Minnesota. Chick-fil-A, Philadelphia, also cleaned out by rioters. Video of Walgreens store shows security guards just stand and watch while a protester empties their shelves. Out-of-control looting across San Francisco has become commonplace after the passage of Proposition 47, November 2014. Remember what it says? Reduce penalties for most cases of drug possession and for nonviolent thefts of property worth $950 or less, from felonies to misdemeanors punishable by a few months in jail instead of years in prison. So, isn't that wonderful? You go in there and you say, click, 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 hold it, hold it. You're $50 over. Okay, so now it's only $950, and we get to walk out of here free. Ain't America great? Yes, sir. All right, Michael Cutler, he's coming up next with his latest Biden ends the war on radical Islamic terrorists over here and over there. And subnote, too bad the terrorists aren't calling it quits.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
Just in time for the 4th of July, there's a big new animated spectacular that gives a decidedly cockeyed view of early American history. It's called America, the Motion Picture, now streaming on Netflix.
I'm George Washington. Ding dong! It's America, mother...
Did you practice that line in the car on your way here?
Yeah, it's rated TV mature, with incessant F-words and some nearly pornographic scenes of cartoon sex. The ridiculousness of the whole project provides fleeting moments of amusement, but no insight, no real emotion, and the frequent evocations of the Avengers series get tedious and tiresome. The splashy animation and the vocal talents of Channing Tatum, Olivia Munn, Judy Greer, Simon Pegg, Andy Samberg, and more are better than this material deserves. 1.5 stars for America the Motion Picture. The patriotic thing to do? Stay away.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Citizens, no need now to clamor for culinary gustatorial delights. Dreams do come true. Columbo's has triumphantly reopened its golden doors to feed the famished and soothe the savage beast. Bask in the delights of Columbo's succulent steaks, Neptune's superior offerings from the seven seas, Columbo's family Italian specialties, and, of course, their world-famous meatballs. And it's all so affordable. Yes, Columbo's, the ninth wonder of the world. The Southern California pantheon dedicated to unrivaled and unparalleled yum-yum. Columbo's, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia bene.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN. Let me tell you about my guest, Michael Cutler, C-U-T-L-E-R. He's a retired senior special agent of the former INS, that was the Immigration and Naturalization Service. Mike, host of the radio program, The Michael Cutler Hour. He's testified as an expert witness at numerous congressional hearings on issues relating to the enforcement of immigration laws, especially in the wake of the 9/11 attacks. His articles can be found at Front Page Magazine, Newsmax.com, MichaelCutler.net, and TheAmericanConservative.com. Mr. Cutler, how are you, sir?
Mr. Wilder, I'm fine. How are you, since we're going to be so formal? Happy Friday.
Oh, yes, I'm so formal today. I got my formal attire on today. Yes.
Okay.
It's the white sneakers.
You got your cummerbund and your black bow tie. I got it.
Well, yeah, and my sneakers, and that's about it. Right. You notice I did mention the American...
By the way, I just have to tell you. Yeah. I just wanted to tell you real quick.
Yeah.
You're describing looting. No, that's the wrong language. You know, we don't have illegal aliens. They're all undocumented migrants. A migrant could be an American, you know. It's not only aliens. So what you're really describing is cashless purchasing. Remember that. Looting is cashless purchasing. How do you like that one?
I'm telling you, you know, it's amazing anyone would want to have a store. And especially when you got a stupid law like that, you know. You can have anything as long as you don't run over, you know, $950, you know. And it's the same way with Home Depot, you know. They don't call them unless, you know, they take 4 saws or 4 screwdrivers or whatever. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Biden, General Biden, I guess, yes. Boy, he really did it, didn't he? He got us out of... Afghanistan, after all of these years, and isn't this wonderful, and everything's going to be great now, right?
You know, I have to tell you, maybe we shouldn't have gotten in there as we did. I had real problems with the way that George W. Bush did many things. I was told he had a meltdown whenever I testified before Congress because I was critical of his immigration policies. And by the way, I want every listener to realize this. It was the Republicans who controlled the Congress when I testified before the Immigration Subcommittee, because they were as concerned about Bush's immigration policies as I was. They weren't being political. They were being good Americans. John Hostetler, Jim Sensenbrenner, Lamar Smith, Steve King, there were a whole bunch of them that said, you better come down here. What the president is doing is scaring the hell out of us. Because he was a globalist, the way he created the Department of Homeland Security. I came to call the Department of Homeland Surrender, violated the Homeland Security Act. See, I'm making the point that it's both parties. It's both parties. And then we heard from both George W. Bush and his successor, Barack Obama, we're fighting the terrorists over there so that we won't have to fight them over here. Are they out of their flipping minds? Where were the attacks carried out? Over here. Where did the Patriot Act impact American citizens? Over here. Where were Americans being all but strip searched to get on airplanes? Over here. So how with a straight face do you stand in front of the microphones and the cameras and declare we're fighting them over there so that we don't have to fight them over here? And we had how many subsequent terror attacks in the United States after 9/11? And how many more were prevented by my former colleagues over at Homeland Security, the FBI, and so forth? I worked on terrorism investigations as well as narcotics investigations. So what is that expression, we're fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them over here? And if you look at the 9/11 Commission, and I provided testimony to the commission, they talked about what we needed to do to secure America's borders, and not just the Mexican border, although that's certainly an element of border security. It was about the visa process. So we had 26 visa waiver countries on 9/11. You would think that after the commission said the visa process needs to be tightened, that they would have ended the visa waiver program. Not so fast. Under both Bush and under Obama, we went from 26 visa waiver countries to 38 visa waiver countries. And I'm sorry to tell you, Donald Trump added number 39, Poland, to the list. There should be no visa waiver countries. If you can have a no-fly list for Americans in their own country, then we certainly ought to be able to impose visa requirements for foreign nationals seeking to enter America out of the very same sort of concerns about national security.
All right, hold it right there, Michael.
All the other globalists are behind us.
Going into that break, and speaking of visas, you know, and now they want to give the visas to everybody that was helping the Americans, which, you know, they helped them. You know, they helped us spy on the enemy and found the enemy and drove for the guys, and here's what you do. And anyway, it's a hard job, isn't it? Yes. Michael Cutler. Yeah, and it's michaelcutler.net. Don't forget, he's host of that radio program, The Michael Cutler Hour, on Fridays.
Tonight.
And we'll be back with more in just a moment.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Michael Cutler, Front Page Mag, TheAmericanConservative.com. He's everywhere, everywhere, I tell you. And this latest article, Biden ends the war on radical Islamic terrorists over here and over there. And let's see, we just looked at it. What did we say? 70% of them are here now, and 30% are in hiding over there, or what?
God only knows. And that's the whole point. You know, by the way, the other place that I'm also writing, they used to publish the social contract at usincorporated.org, USINC.org, but now they have a blog, and I've been writing for usinc.org also. So I just want to let everybody know about that. Look, here's the problem. There's a fascination that Americans have with fingerprints and terror watch lists, as though that's the be-all. Well, we fingerprinted him. No record came back. That's not necessarily the case. Fingerprints don't always tell us about the backgrounds of criminals and terrorists. That's item number one. Item number two, good sleeper agents have no records anywhere. That's why they're sleepers. They look like the average person next door. You know, somebody once described an effective spy as somebody who would not and could not attract the attention of a waiter or a waitress at a Greasy Spoon diner.
Hey, Mike, and let me throw this in, that what you and I talked about years ago after 9/11, the guy that was driving the ice cream truck, remember the terrorists?
The guy that, most of the 9/11 hijackers had no records.
Yeah.
They got on airplanes, and they weren't on any no-fly lists. I mean, understand what we're talking about.
They were like little school children, huh?
That's right, and many times they're young, and they have a nice smile. or they just look like the average person. I don't know if you saw it. I recommend the movie highly, The Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks. The Bridge of Spies chronicled the story of the arrest of Rudolf Abel, the Russian spy back in the 60s. He was arrested. The FBI got the credit, of course. Immigration agents were on the scene. They actually recovered parts of the radio he used to communicate with a Russian submarine that was standing just off the U.S. coastline. So if you see the movie, Rudolf Abel was swapped ultimately for Francis Gary Powers, the U-2 spy pilot who was shot down over Russia. Uh-huh. And as a consequence, the United States ended or Russia pulled out of what was supposed to have been a meeting with President Kennedy because of the shootdown of the U-2. And Rudolf Abel, the actor that played him, is a guy with glasses who supposedly liked to sit in the park and paint. Actually, he would always sit on the same bench, which was a dead drop. They would leave little microfilm instructions for him and so forth. That's how he communicated with his handlers. But if you look at him, it wasn't like looking at Sean Connery as James Bond, you know, driving around in an Aston Martin. This guy was taking buses, wore rumpled suits and old clothing and thick glasses. So spies don't look glamorous. They look glamorous in some of the movies, and that's kind of silly. It's entertainment. In the real world, a spy is somebody that would walk by you, and you wouldn't pay that person a second bit of attention. And so not all terrorists are on the terror watch list. But when we hear the Border Patrol stopped three people on the terror watch list, I'm thinking, well, okay, we knew who they were. How many people that went through were not on the watch list but are just as much terrorists? The other thing to realize, not everybody who was involved with terrorism will ever carry out an attack. If you look at the U.S. Air Force, think of how many people wear that U.S. The Air Force blue uniform, but probably fewer than 5% of all members of the Air Force are actually pilots. Think about an aircraft carrier, 5,000 crew members, and they have a fleet of, I don't remember the numbers, let's say 200 airplanes on board that aircraft carrier. 5,000 sailors supporting perhaps 200 or 250 pilots. So the bulk of the people on the aircraft carrier have nothing to do with aviation other than servicing the airplanes and making sure they're loaded and getting the aircraft carrier to where it needs to be so they can launch the planes. Without those supporting people, the planes don't make it to the target. Think of how many people worked at NASA to get three astronauts to the moon. It was an army of scientists, engineers, and technicians. A lot of terrorists will never blow up a building, fire a gun, or run a person over. They provide the financial support. They provide housing. They provide all sorts of support activities for terrorists, and they're operating inside our country. Very often the support they do, by the way, is to commit criminal acts to get the money to support terrorism, which brings us to where we are on the Mexican border. Hezbollah is operating throughout Latin America with human traffickers and drug smugglers. There's a couple of 100,000 members of Hezbollah scattered across the world, thousands of them operating right now as we speak in Latin America along with Hamas, moving narcotics and people into the United States so that they raise the money they need for terrorism and also to move terrorists and sleeper agents into the United States. So look what Joe Biden just did. Joe Biden said, we're done fighting over there in Afghanistan. They turned over Kandahar, which was a really, I think, big mistake. If you look at all the people that even said we should be out of Afghanistan but not give up our base. Yes, we needed that base, the staging area for our aircraft. It's gone.
And by the way, let me tell you real quick, when they were pulling out of that base, it was like seconds behind them. The so-called enemy was moving right into that base, taking
it
over.
Absolutely, filling the void. Filling the void. And the Taliban.
They just said, don't look in your rearview mirror, you know. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, right. And if they slowed down, they might have gotten rear-ended by the Taliban.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the Taliban works with ISIS, Al Qaeda, all these terrorist groups. So they're moving in. The government of Afghanistan knows that their days are limited. In fact, many Afghan soldiers have been filmed surrendering their weapons to the Taliban. Stop and think about that. So the idea that we're fighting them over there, well, we're no longer fighting them over there, ladies and gentlemen. Are we allowed to say that today in this politically screwed up world? God knows. But in any event,
am I allowed to say that I think right now the Biden administration, you know, their watch list that they have are on these people that haven't gotten their COVID shot. Go ahead.
Probably so.
Yeah, that's more important, you know. Yeah.
They got to hunt them down. But we have no control over our borders. They're violating each and every single one of the recommendations and findings of the 9/11 Commission about the nexus between immigration failures and terrorism. They are ignoring, the Biden administration is ignoring, that last year, perhaps 70 or 80 or 90,000, the numbers seem to vary depending on the source, people died of opiate overdoses. Much of the drugs coming across the U.S.-Mexican border, but it's coming across through Canada, through the coast regions of the United States. The drugs are being smuggled into our international airports. They've ended interior enforcement of our immigration laws. They've ended border security. This all violates the 9/11 Commission. They also want to get a certain number of Americans vaccinated so that we start to develop herd immunity. And yet, Biden wants to end the use of Title 42, under which we do not allow aliens into the United States who have dangerous communicable diseases, which, by the way, is one of the number one category for excluding an alien from the United States. If you go to Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182, and after the program, I would suggest you do it, or read my articles. I frequently put links into the various sections of law. It enumerates who we're supposed to keep out. It has nothing to do with skin color, race, religion, or ethnicity. If it was about that, I couldn't have enforced those laws for 30 seconds, let alone 30 years. My family was demolished by the Holocaust. I was named for my mother's mother, who couldn't get out of Poland. I'm Jewish. She was Jewish. Not a good thing to be Jewish in Eastern Europe and in Germany during the Second World War. And by the way, having just celebrated the 4th of July, something to think about, all the talk about Antifa, the anti-fascists, the American school system should be showing videos of D-Day and all those other battles where American teenagers, many of those men that died were teenagers, died on the beaches of Normandy, died in the skies over Asia and Europe. And you know who the real anti-fascists are? The members of the armed forces of the United States and our allies. Those are the true anti-fascists. So
You know, the enemy are those people that went into the Capitol building where one person was killed. You know what? And whenever
well,
you have...
We still don't know who shot her. Isn't that interesting? We still don't know the identity of the shooter.
But I'll tell you something. When you've got Congress people, you know, you're supposed to have a little bit of brains, you know, to be able to get in Congress, supposedly.
Not necessarily. By the way, when I sit in front of Congress, people say, what's it like? I said, I feel like I'm facing the Star Wars bar very often.
Yeah. But... here it is, you know, they say, oh, you know, that incursion on the state capitol, that was worse than 9/11. What?
Yeah,
what are you talking about? Worse than the landing on Normandy. What? I mean, does that tell you right there where their little tiny brain is located when they
brain. It's the American tiny brain, because how many Americans have stood up to them and said, you're out of here. These people keep getting reelected. What does that say about the intelligence of the average American?
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's true that we very often don't get much of a choice. You know, I remember when McCain was running against Obama, people said to me, who are you going to support? I said, boy, that's like asking me if I want cancer or a heart attack.
Yeah.
But I mean, goodness gracious. Look, we have a serious problem in America because Americans are being intimidated. You know, when we were told, we'll fight the bullies for you. You know, I used to get beat up every other week when I went to school. I was scrawny. I never thought that sports figures were heroes. My favorite oxymoron is heroic play. I'm still trying to figure out how you can be a hero when you're playing. My heroes were astronauts and test pilots. I got letters from Alan Shepard and Gus Grissom.
Yeah.
I met a bunch of astronauts, including one of our most recent astronauts, Jack Fisher. I met him during a speaking engagement when I addressed a bunch of Air Force brass in D.C. 2 years ago. And he just come back from the space station. Those folks are heroes. And so I was bullied. I would wind up coming home with a bloody nose or a black eye. And my dad taught me to stand up for myself. If you can't stand up to the schoolyard bullies, and I'm no fan of the bullies, I suffered because of them, then you've got a problem when you become an adult. Bullies are the sparring partners we need to sharpen our teeth to be prepared for adulthood. If you have a puppy or a kitten, you know they play fight. Why are they play fighting? They're training for the rest of their lives. Now, I hate bullies, and I'd like to see them all punished for what they do. But when someone can tell the American kids, we'll take care of the bullies for you, run for your life, because when they become the bullies, we now have a generation of Americans who are clueless as to how to stand on their own two feet and defy the bullies, which is exactly the long-term plan, as far as I'm concerned, that we've been subjected to by the anarchists who are now trying to wrest control of our country from America and Americans. We've got a serious problem. We as Americans need that gross spine, have a little chutzpah, as we say in Brooklyn, stand up to the bullies, make it clear to them that we're not the imbeciles that we hoped that we were, and get rid of the politicians who don't represent us. When you could leave our borders wide open so that drugs and terrorists and competition for American workers can flow freely across those borders, then your country is betraying you. This is personal. The immigration laws were designed, to put it succinctly, to protect public health, public safety, national security, and the jobs and wages of American workers. If you tell me that those activities are improper, then you need to check into a psych ward to find out what's broken in your head. There's nothing racist or xenophobic about keeping out criminals or people with diseases or people who would damage or destroy your country or take the jobs that Americans need. And by, flooding America with as many people as we are at a time when there's now droughts, think about that. And I wrote about this for usinc.org. If you look at how much water the average person needs, and it's interesting, I did a little research, it's about 82 gallons per day for sanitary purposes and cooking. And then you need more water to irrigate the soil to grow the crops that we need to subsist. Each person has a huge ecological footprint. So for the Democrats to be opening up the borders at a time when we're told because of supposed climate change that's going to create endemic droughts for the western half of the United States, what are we supposed to do when you import a flood of humanity, not a flood of water, and we're suffering from serious drought situations?
Well, I'll tell you.
Plus all the other problems.
And out in California, I don't know if he's still doing it or not, but, Newsom, I know last year, I guess it was, in the last couple of years, opening up the dam water, I didn't cuss, it's the dam and the water's opening. Okay, got it. Yeah, and like 1,200 gallons a day going out so that the Delta smelt could survive. Fresh water going right out to the ocean. Then I had a story today about Palmdale, how the cartel has taken over and moved into Palmdale, California, still in Los Angeles County, and they're taking all the water because it takes all the water to grow the marijuana plants. And stealing the people's water and threatening and going to kill them if they, get on their land and all this. Let me ask you something here about a minute before the break. During 9/11, would you say during that time, Mike, that there was a small leak in our immigration system, as far as people getting in compared to what it is now? A small leak that let 19 people come in and give us the worst ever?
It was more than a small leak then, but if it was a leak then, we now have a dam burst. We have no control over who's here. And interior enforcement is the issue because it's not just what's coming across the Mexican border. As I've always said, we have 50 border states that are coming in everywhere, even international airports. But once they get to the interior, there's no one there to do anything about it. And that's been a long-term problem because this has really been about creating the illusion of immigration enforcement, but really immigration has become a delivery system. It delivers an unlimited supply of cheap exploitable labor, an unlimited supply of tourists, and for the lawyers in both parties, an unlimited supply of clients for immigration law firms. Think about that. Yeah. The comprehensive reform wasn't supposed to get the aliens out of the shadows. You hire agents for that.
I think we got an unlimited amount of people sneaking over that could become talk show. Well, no, it would be news reporters, yes, at CNN.
Possibly.
Yeah. Michael Possibly. Cutler, USINC, I said it, usinc.org, theamericanconservative.com, and this one's on frontpagemag.com. Be right back.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Dobby fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest, Michael Cutler, retired senior special agent of the former INS, that was Immigration and Naturalization Service, talking about his latest article, Biden Ends the War on Radical Islamic Terrorists Over Here and Over There. And this one's at Front Page Mag, is that right?
That's right. And I also did another article I want to just touch on in the minute or so that I have.
Yeah, go ahead.
The previous one, Iranian Goal of Death to America, Aided and Abetted by the Radical Democrats. Full disclosure, I'm registered as a Democrat. These aren't Democrats, Chuck. And the subtitle to that article is Biden's Immigration Policies Fulfill the Wishes of the 9/11 Terrorists. Now, what was interesting about that article is it was predicated on a Time magazine article published just this past June 7th, a month ago, exclusive, Iran steps up efforts to sow discord inside the United States. So Iran programmers, computer programmers, have been hacking into the computers, pretending to be the Proud Boys, pretending to be various right-wing groups in the United States, conservative groups in the United States, attributing statements to them threatening Americans that were really Iranians masking themselves, claiming to be Americans. Also interfering with our elections, trying to keep Trump from being elected. This was all Iran operating inside our borders through computers. So please understand the level of aggression from Iran. They're now announcing that they're ramping up their production of fissile materials to make nuclear bombs, potentially. Biden wants to go back to the old Iranian deal, not protecting us from Iranians entering the United States to carry out terror attacks. We're being hammered from multiple directions. The American people must stand up and speak to their elected representatives, make it clear that you understand the threats we face and how the politicians from both parties, having accepted bribes, so-called campaign contributions, are not acting in the best interest of America or Americans. You know, I always like to make the point, democracy is not a spectator sport. You have to get involved.
Yeah, but look, what is one of the priorities of the Biden administration? If you suspect somebody's a white supremacist, report them. Boy.
But this goes back to what Iran has been doing. That is the bidding of Iran. And by the way, if you read Mein Kampf, and there was an interesting article about an analysis done of Mein Kampf, Hitler's, of course, book, by the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, the predecessor to the CIA during the Second World War, the tactics of the Democrat Party today exactly match the tactics that Hitler laid out in Mein Kampf, according to the Office of the Strategic Services. What do you think of that? The big lie and everything else.
Wow, I'll tell you. Well,
I'll be writing about that pretty soon, in fact.
Yeah, you're writing all over the place.
We've been gullible. What they've done here is to weaponize Americans' compassion. Why does compassion never apply to Americans? Why does no one care about Americans becoming homeless because they're losing jobs to foreign workers or suffering wage suppression, and the price of housing is going through the roof as more people flood into America? They need a place to stay. This is classic economics, supply and demand. The more customers there are for housing, the more valuable the housing becomes. The price goes up. And what do we have? Tent cities around America. Why don't they interview the people in the tent cities and find out how many of them had jobs, were raising their families, and were literally priced out of their apartments because of the lack of border control? The Labor Department used to run immigration to prevent that from happening. Guess what? FDR was one of the strongest proponents for immigration enforcement to make certain that American workers would not have to compete with foreign workers for their jobs. Bernie Sanders took that position in 2006 when he met and stood there with the unions and said anybody who hires illegal aliens should be prosecuted for destroying jobs and wages of Americans.
All right. Come over here. We'll take care of you. As long as you're not a homeless person, veteran, yes, okay. Hey, thank you, Michael. We'll do it again real soon. Michael Cutler.
Thank you, sir.
Front page Mag, USYNC, theamericanconservative.com. Selwyn Duke coming up next.
Enjoying all your favorite CRN programming is easier than ever. It's right on your TV through your local cable provider.
Let's see. I'm trying to think here. Whom would my guest be? Oh, yes, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, contributor to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning, guy that appears on television and frequent radio shows all over the place, even this one, and the guy that's got a website called www.selwynduke.com. Hey, Selwyn, how are you?
Hi there, Chuck, and you asked whom would your guest be? Well, there are other Dukes out there, but hey, this is me. How are you, Chuck?
There's only one Duke. Well, John Duke, Duke Wayne, I guess. Oh, gosh, you guys be tied, you know, yes, because with your talent and his talent, both professionals.
Yeah. Well, you know, people liken me to John Wayne. They just say that my shoulders are a little wider, that's all.
Oh, yes, there you go. Wow. And, you know, gee, I lost my line of thought there. I was thinking about the shoulders, I guess. I'm not quite sure. Yes, what I was going to tell you, welcome back for your little tiny theme song there, okay?
Oh, yes, I was happy to hear that. It's like going back in time to a simpler time before we had all the things we're going to discuss in the show today going on.
That's right, yes. And despite opposition, anti-white CRT indoctrination continues spreading like a virus. It's amazing when you look at a word, and I'm thinking intro. You know, we're talking about the intro and all that, and it's introduction. What? Yes, anyway. Now, I promised the listeners we're going to get to the topless lady here in a little bit, so don't go away.
No one wants to miss that, right?
Nobody wants to miss that one. But your latest here, from the schoolroom to the boardroom to video on Zoom. Pick it up, Mr. Zoomin' Duke.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of talk, as everyone knows, about critical race theory, which I call anti-whiteness 101 / divide and conquer theory, because that's really what it is. And there has been a lot of spirited opposition, Chuck, against it. We've seen all these school board meetings where parents are rightly raising a ruckus. They're pushing back on these politically correct school boards. But nonetheless, this theory, this indoctrination, is still spreading like wildfire. I mean, it's like an invading horde. It's just hard to stop. And we have a few more stories about it. And one of the latest examples, Chuck, involves this pricey pre-K to 12 school called Columbus Academy in Gahanna, Ohio, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, there are these two mothers. They are parents or mothers of daughters who go to the school, Andrea Gross and Amy Gonzalez. They created a group called the Pro Columbus Academy Coalition because they wanted to combat this anti-white critical race training bigotry, critical race theory, bigotry that had completely consumed the institution. And the school officials did respond to their efforts. You know what they did? They expelled the women's three daughters. One of them was one daughter, the other two daughters. Now, this might remind you of North Korea, where if parents do something wrong, the kids are punished. In fact, they punish multiple generations of the family. They basically throw them in a gulag. But what really, really sounded Marxist in nature, Chuck, was the reason that the headmistress, Melissa Soderbergh, gave for expelling the girls. Okay? This is a letter that was sent to every Columbus parent that Soderbergh sent off. It was signed by the Board of Trustees president of the school, too. He's a local developer, Chuck, named Jonathan Cass. Anyway, the two officials said that by complaining about bigotry, the mothers had caused, quote, pain and even fear for physical safety among students, families, faculty, and staff. Okay? So as
you kind of wonder automatically which side is really – you know, creating fear. But go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, I know. And you know what's amazing about this is that, anyway, they were complaining about this anti-white theory, and these schools, these ritzy private schools, basically have a white clientele. So that's a great business model, isn't it, Chuck?
Yeah,
you insult,
absolutely.
You impugn your clientele, your customers, and still they're getting away with it. But anyway, in my article, I quote Tucker Carlson, the Fox News commentator. He translates this. He says, quote, in other words, if you dare to question us, we won't disagree with you. We'll attack you, we'll hurt your children, and we'll accuse you of assault. You're making us afraid. And as I point out, though, this is a common technique of people, Chuck, who, unable to stand on truth, stamp on the truth tellers. What they do is they redefine rational dissent that could refute their lie-based agenda as violence, and then they use that as an excuse to discredit and silence you. And if they get enough power, you know what else they're going to do? They're going to end up throwing you in a gulag, because that's what the history of leftism teaches. But anyway, where I do disagree, though, with Tucker Carlson, he had these two women from the Columbus School on his show last week, or this week, I should say, I'm sorry. Where I do disagree with him is where he says that Columbus has hurt the women's daughters. What I would say is Soderbergh, the headmistress, actually did the girls a favor. And the reason why is that she expelled them from an overpriced, I mean, the tuition here we're talking about is up to $30,000 plus every single year. An overpriced, morally and intellectually degraded institution. And what's going to happen to the girls there? The only thing that's going to happen is that their minds could be corrupted. So what I also point out in my piece is, you know, this gets to a problem of humanity. People have to shed this idea that somehow a school is elite because it charges you an arm and a leg, puts kids in a stately building, and has all the latest bells and whistles. Because that's just superficiality. That doesn't mean a thing. If an institution is teaching this cultural poison we call critical race theory, it's a bad, bad tree, and it's not going to yield anything good. And that is not education. That's miseducation. And as I've pointed out in the past, if you see that, if you see that your school is pushing transgenderism or some other sexual devolutionary agenda on your kids or is peddling critical race theory, it's not enough to just purge what you see as the immediate problem from the school, because that's not the main issue. The main issue is that the educators are of a kind, Chuck, where they would actually peddle something like that. So you could get them to stop what they're doing at this particular moment, peddling critical race theory or some sexual nonsense, but that's not going to change their nature. They're going to corrupt your kids in some other way because they can't help being what they are. So really the problem is that our educational system overall, and especially the government one, Chuck, has to be pulled up root and branch. And that's exactly what would happen if I were running things. If I ran things, Chuck, the only things that would remain standing when all was said and done would be the buildings. And that's the truth.
That's
but anyway.
Cool. That's very well said. But let me ask you something, because I must be way behind, you know. When I look at $30,000 plus yearly, all right, so, and we're talking, are we talking about college here?
No, we're talking about K to 12 for kindergarten.
Okay,
you could be paying even more than that.
There you've got 12 years, all right, getting $30,000 plus for each student. And you wonder, man, you know, they must have security guards. They must have people that turn the pages for you in the book. But then again, they're probably not using the book because each kid has their very own laptop or whatever, right? How in the world is it a thing that they're going to say, look what I'm doing for my children because I'm paying $30,000 apiece per year to go to this school? Does that make the parent automatically go right up to the top of the pecking order in their neighborhood? I mean, is it part of the parents' fault because they fall into this?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a status symbol. That's what it is. They want to be able to say, oh, my child went to Columbus, and then she went to Harvard, or she went to Yale, and she graduated cum laude.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Did you say she went to jail?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
About
I mispronounced
the same
it.
Thing.
Yes.
Jail would be better for you. You know, some people jail, Chuck, actually experience bona fide Christian conversions. You don't hear about that happening at Yale too much, do you? In fact, just the opposite happens. Kids go there, sometimes they have faith, and they come out raving atheists who want to destroy America and Western civilization. But it's interesting. When we say $30,000, understand that that's just Ohio. You go to a place like Manhattan in New York City, you could be talking $50,000-$60,000, and we're going to get to a school like that in just a moment. And
a
you know what's so funny
Hollywood.
About
Hollywood? Yeah, take a guess on Hollywood real quick.
On what Hollywood?
What would it be?
Okay, how much?
A million a year?
That sounds a little high, but I was just going to say, I know a couple who sent their kid to one of these ritzy private schools, and the father at least had enough understanding to say, you know what, the whole thing is funny, because if I took all the money that I'm going to spend on this school and put it aside and invested it for my son, he'd be set up for life by the time he was 21 years old. And I mean, that really is true. Think about it. You send your child to a kid K to 12, you send your child, I'm sorry, to a school K to 12, that's $50,000 a year. Well, when all is said and done, you're spending $600,000 right there, right? And that doesn't count what you're going to invest in his college education. So, I mean, how much are you investing?
With that money, with that money, you could claim you're a Democrat. You could get a personal relationship with Nancy Pelosi, and you would know what stock to buy 6 months ahead of time. You do know that she just did that, right?
Yeah, I know
Microsoft,
she's done things like
that. They canceled Microsoft, and so all of a sudden her husband buys into the right company that's taking over. Like she didn't know this was going to happen, that Biden was going to change it. Wow. Save your money and hire a congressperson to help you out in your decisions. That might work, yes.
No, absolutely. You talk about insider trading. I mean, these are insiders.
Trading.
That's what Nancy Pelosi is. She has access to all of this information. But, you know, let's move on. Now, talking about expensive
because
schools,
I want to get to the comedian you're going to talk about here. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So there's another example of critical race theory nonsense, and this has to do with Manhattan's posh Spence School. And this is a school, Chuck, that caters to New York City society girls. Anyway, this story broke a few weeks ago that Spence had actually shown a graduation day video to 8th grade students. And now in this video, as parent and Hispanic tech exec Gabriela Barron put it, this video openly derides, humiliates, and ridicules white women. Okay, now as for details, and here I'm quoting Andrea Widberg of American Thinker, quote, "The comedian in the video shown to the class called white women annoying and asked white feminists, what percentage of white women do you hate? Adding that there is a right answer. She invited four white women named Karen on the stage, making sure they and her audience knew that Karens are obnoxious, angry, and entitled, often racist white women." So anyway, if you want to, you can read all of Barron's letter. It's a scathing, scathing letter. But, you know, here's the thing. This story might have died because it's a few weeks old, except that instead of really issuing a sufficient mea culpa, the school sort of soft-pedaled the whole thing. They basically said the principal, Bodie Brizentine, and the school board, they issued this so-called apology. They said, quote, "They called the video satirical, and they fully trust the professionalism of their dedicated faculty, and they will be strengthening faculty protocols." Well, this only made the Spence parents, Chuck, even angrier, and so now a group of them are going after not just the principal, but the school board. But as I point out, you know, the idea that such a video could be considered a joke is a joke itself. And here I talk about comedian Jackie Mason. You know, in the 1980s...
Right there, I want you to hang on. We want the full info on Jackie Mason.
Yeah.
By the way, when he was talking about Barron's letter, there's a link for it. So if you go to SelwynDuke.com and check out this article, "Despite opposition, anti-white CRT indoctrination continues spreading like a virus," you can read the entire letter. We're going to be right back with more from Selwyn Duke, SelwynDuke.com.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Just in time for the 4th of July, there's a big new animated spectacular that gives a decidedly cockeyed view of early American history. It's called America, the Motion Picture, now streaming on Netflix.
I'm George Washington. Ding dong! It's America, motherfucker!
Did you practice that line in the car on your way here?
Yeah, it's rated TV mature with incessant F-words and some nearly pornographic scenes of cartoon sex. The ridiculousness of the whole project provides fleeting moments of amusement, but no insight, no real emotion, and the frequent evocations of the Avengers series get tedious and tiresome. The splashy animation and the vocal talents of Channing Tatum, Olivia Munn, Judy Greer, Simon Pegg, Andy Samberg, and more are better than this material deserves. 1.5 stars for America, the Motion Picture. The patriotic thing to do? Stay away.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with the one and only Selwyn Duke, the New American, thenewamerican.com. And I'll tell you, see, when it comes to Jackie Mason, no, I don't want to break it up with some silly commercials that are paying for everything. So go ahead. Let's do it now, okay? Tell us about this.
Yeah, well, we were talking about this graduation day video shown to 8th grade students at the Spence School in Manhattan that savaged white women, and then the school officials just blew it off, shrugged it off as being satirical. And I'm pointing out that the whole idea that that could be considered a joke is a joke itself. True humor, Chuck, is something where everyone, including the object of the humor, is left laughing. And as I point out in my piece, you know, when Jackie Mason did his ethnic humor in his 1980s show, The World According to Me, he poked fun at a whole host of groups, including his own Jews, and it was lighthearted, it was meant in fun, and you know what? Most importantly, it was hilarious, really funny. He could be the funniest man who's ever lived, Jackie Mason. Mm-hmm. And it amazes me, though, that the video is still on YouTube, I have to tell you, because today you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that because the wokesters out there, the left-wingers, would say, oh, that's offensive, oh, that's racist, oh, that's bigoted. Yeah. Meanwhile, they turn around, and what do? While you're not supposed to be able to poke fun at anyone, what they do is they single out one particular group, mainly white people today, for derision, and it's relentless. It's continual, and it's just absolutely brutal. It's condemnatory, and then they claim it's humor. No, that's not humor. That's the targeting of a group viciously. And you know what you could really describe it as? You could describe it as not humor, but Organization Genocide Watch's fourth stage of genocide, dehumanization. Does that sound like an extreme statement? Well, I'm sorry. That's what we're witnessing. White people today are being dehumanized, Christians to some extent too, but right now we have this racial thing going on with this identity politics nonsense and this critical race theory nonsense, and that is what is happening. But, you know, we could also say, Chuck, getting back to the Spence parents, that maybe they do deserve a little ridicule, not for their race, but because, getting back to what we were saying before, they're paying almost $60,000 a year in tuition to send their children to that propaganda mill so they can be indoctrinated. So all I can say is what comes to mind here is the old saying, a fool and his money shall soon be parted. But it's worse than that, because in this case, it's a fool and his child's soul will soon be parted. And that is the real tragedy here. Yeah. And I'm glad these parents are pushing back, but the problem is that since these schools are still in business and are still conducting themselves in this fashion, Chuck, that tells us that they still have a lot of suckers who are forking over the dough. And that's the shame of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and I know you were mentioning Tucker Carlson because he also had a thing, and I had the story today, and this guy named Rufo that was on, Chris Rufo. Yeah, did you want to throw that in? We got a couple of minutes for the break here.
Oh, yeah, I was going to get to that. Yeah, that's the third example of the critical race theory nonsense that we're going to talk about today. And this has to do with the defense contractor Raytheon, okay? Chris Rufo did this investigation. He's very, very good in this area. He often uncovers this nonsense having to do with critical race theory. Well, anyway, Carlson stated, this was this week, according to Rufo, I'm quoting, Raytheon launched what he considers a political indoctrination program to teach employees to plainly judge each other on the basis of race. He revealed that the training provides specific rules for how white employees should speak to their black colleagues. And they even said employees should reject the principle of equality and favor equality of outcomes, which is a synonym for socialism, maybe communism. That's what Rufo said. Then Carlson continued, Raytheon's training also states that white straight Christian men top the oppression hierarchy and must, quote, step aside for minorities. Now, isn't that rich, Chuck? You know what's so funny about this? Raytheon is a big, big corporation. And who do you think runs it? Well, I bet the people who run it are mainly white straight Christian men. And we have to ask then, Chuck, are they going to relinquish their lucrative positions? Are they going to, quote, step aside for minorities? Or is that only something the poor blue-collar guy is supposed to do in deference to their lofty ideas? You know, what comes to mind here, Chuck? Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what comes to mind here is that it's easy to be idealistic when you don't have to live with your ideals, and that's what's going on here.
You
have these rich people at Raytheon and elsewhere who've got no principle at all. They worship the almighty dollar. And then what they do is, because they want a value signal and they want to say, oh, don't accuse me of being racist. Look at me, what a good little boy I am. You know, they posture in this fashion and they advocate these things that are going to hurt the little guy.
Got to take a break. We're going to be back. By the way, second largest defense contractor in America. Yep, that's what he was talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead. Read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Dobby fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining alfresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails, like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
Yes. The theme song is back for Selwyn Duke, the new American. There he is, dancing right now, going over there, left to right. Yep. Put that T-shirt back on. Thank you. All right. Which leads me to the next story. Dutch Christian city in Iowa allows trans teen girl to go topless in public pool. And that doesn't mean they, you know, gathered up a bunch of money, you know, like a pool. Mm. No, forget that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because we were talking about Jackie Mason before, Chuck, and he once said on stage that he used to be a boxer. He really did. And when he entered the ring, the men would cheer and the women would scream. He forgot to put his shorts on. But that was just a joke. That was just a joke. Unfortunately, this is real life. And this story has not gotten a lot of play. It was investigated by a local reporter named Jacob Hall, who I actually spoke to. And you can forget indecent exposure laws because, as I put it in my piece, if just one disturbed mid-teen girl identifies as a boy and wants to walk around topless in front of actual boys and men, Chuck, well, she has to be allowed to. And that's exactly what happened at a city aquatic center in a small Iowa municipality. And it has created an uproar. But anyway, the scene of this scene was city-owned Pella Aquatic Center, which is very nice, by the way. I saw a picture of it. Looks like there's multiple pools and water slides. Looks like something beautiful in middle America, a real slice of Americana. And it's in the Dutch Christian Reformed city of Pella, which is known as America's Dutch treasure. Now, it all sounds very nice, very family-oriented, except that because of this so-called transgender agenda, which I call the must made-up sexual status agenda that now prevails, this teen girl was allowed to parade about, quote, topless, and to use the men's locker rooms with grown men and boys of all ages, exposing her breasts because she identified as a male. That's what Jacob Hall wrote. Well, anyway, this incident occurred, Chuck, on June 16th, and quoting Hall again, according to two people at the aquatic center, the incident did indeed happen, and the aquatic center policy allows it to happen. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, this was brought to the facility's attention, and they said, well, there's nothing we can do. They said, the state law protects this female. She has to be able to walk around any way she wants, and if she identifies as being a boy, then she has to be allowed to walk around as boys do, and that means topless. And they're worried that if they try to do anything about it, they could face legal backlash. Well, anyway, this law that they're talking about, the state law, was made in 2007. That's what the Pella mayor, Don DeWard, said. And I pointed out in my piece,
2007.
Well,
boy, that goes way back, yeah.
That goes way back. Now, why would a law like that have been made that long ago? We're talking now 14 years ago. Well, it's very, very simple. I did just a little digging, and it turns out that 2007 was the year that Democrats took control of Iowa completely. They already had the governor's mansion back then. They took control that year of the legislature as well. So then they had complete government control, and they could do whatever they wanted, and this law was what they visited upon people. So maybe I'm going off on a tangent, but it's yet another example I point out in my piece of something I call Duke's First Rule of Politics. Now, what is that? Well, it says that under representative government, Chuck, people do not get what they want. No, they get what they vote for. And there's a
Let me ask you real quick here.
Yeah.
Let's say that, okay, the lady identifying as a man or the girl, let's say 1 week later that a man, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go way out there, okay? We'll say the man is 51 years old, and he says, I identify as a woman, so he goes into the woman's dressing room at the swimming pool. Do you think the outcome would still be the same?
Well, they're so politically correct. I mean, there might be more of an uproar because, let's face it, the women really wouldn't cotton to that. They'd be very, very upset. But, you know, this is political correctness that has just descended upon our whole society. And I'm going to get to this, but the Pella City government doesn't seem very sympathetic. I mean, I do think that there are things they could do about this. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so you have the Democrats who at the time controlled Iowa, right? Like I said, under representative government, voters don't get what they want. They get what they vote for. And what that means is that if you vote for a party, it's a package deal. When people in Iowa, which is not that left-wing a state, vote for Democrats, they're not thinking about must-oriented laws. They're thinking, well, meat and potato issues. I'm going to vote for the Democrats because they promise to do this or that with respect to economics or this or that with respect to jobs. But they're not reading the fine print. They're looking at the advertising or what's on the label. They're not looking on the ingredients label in that fine print, and that's where the real perils are listed. And that's what you have to look at. You have to know what you're voting for. Otherwise, you're going to end up being visited with nonsensical laws like the one in question here. But the Republicans control Iowa now. So they could rescind this law. But as I said in my piece, Chuck, I wouldn't hold my breath waiting. Why? Because, well, we're seeing that phenomenon Chesterton spoke of when he said, the business of progressives is to go on making mistakes. The business of conservatives is to make sure mistakes are not corrected. And that's the problem. Conservatives are just that. They are conservative as in defensive. They conserve yesterday's liberals' mistakes. And that's what has to change. But anyway,
I'll tell you one thing. If you ever go to that pool, all right, and you just went there, you know, to somebody, a friend or whatever, and you say, man, that looks good. I wish I would have brought my swimming suit, right? Now, male or female, that may not work, but you could identify as a fish. Just dive right in.
No,
yes,
exactly.
Naked. Yeah. I mean, it's getting so ridiculous. You know, I've said that before. Come into these places and say, I'm now an elephant, and bring in 3 bales of hay. What are they going to do to you?
Well, it's not even a joke. I mean, there is something relating to that. You know, when you're talking about this must agenda, at issue is a condition known as gender dysphoria, which we've discussed before, which is the sense that you're the member of one sex stuck in the body of the opposite sex, to put it colloquially. Well, anyway, they also define something the psychobabblers do, Chuck, called species dysphoria, which is where a person thinks he's a different species. So it's the same thing. It's the same thinking. I mean, there are people out there who've claimed to be canines. You know, one girl's name was Wolfie Blackheart. That was the name she took on. She was a Texan who claimed to be a canine. Seriously, you can look it up.
Yeah. So see, if you and I were the teacher, we'd just tell her, you're barking up the wrong tree. Get the heck out of here, you know?
Hey, that's a good one.
Thank you. Okay.
Another girl claimed to be a cat, although she admitted that she hadn't yet succeeded in catching a mouse.
Yeah,
so as one resident of Pella put it, you know, what's going to happen next? Is some guy going to come in identifying as a gorilla and then we have to deal with that? I guess his implication there was that the man could possibly be naked. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And then what happened after this was there was another incident where some people, seeing what happened, seeing the precedent was set, came in dressed as members of the opposite sex. That happened July 2nd. Now, they probably weren't must individuals, so-called transgender individuals. Jacob Hall told me they were just trying probably to make a point, but this is what happens when you go down this road. And is this going to be a family-oriented aquatic center for much longer if this keeps up? Of course not. Are people going to want to take their kids there? Of course not. You know? So it's really, really terrible, Chuck. And you know what distresses me just as much? When I looked at the comments under my article on this subject at the New American, I noticed a lot of people, so-called conservatives, thought it wasn't a big deal. I mean, they were expressing sentiments such as, well, what's the big deal about seeing boobies? Is it really that big of a deal? I mean, should we be that puritanical? And my response is, well, if you're going to follow that way of thinking, then why have clothing at all? People can just walk around au naturel, right? But we're not supposed to be in Papua New Guinea. There's a reason why civilized societies learn that we should be covered and that we should practice modesty. Because when you don't, it leads you to very, very bad places. As C.S. Lewis said, the philosopher, he said, sex is not messed up because it was put in the closet. It was put in the closet because it was messed up. And now we're taking all these things out of the closet again, and we're really messing it up even more. And it's a very dangerous road to go down. I'm sorry, Chuck, you wanted to say something.
Well, first off, who was it that that quote was from?
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis. Now, that's not our regular guy, is it? Chester's our regular guy.
Yeah.
You have
no, but they were friends.
Quoted, you haven't quoted him yet. This may be a first. Okay, because I'm waiting for it. Hey, here's the whole thing about this story, right? So let's say the guy is outside your daughter's window, peeping Tom. Yeah, that's the term. And he gets arrested, and he says, no, I identify as a woman. You know, I was just wondering if she and I could be friends, you know. I mean, you know, there's a slight edge there, right?
Well, there is. There is. And
because people are saying, what's the big deal? Yeah, there is a big deal.
Yeah, well, there is a big deal. There absolutely is. And look, we've discussed this agenda before, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I always point out that it's completely unscientific. As Alan Finch said, he was an Australian so-called transsexual who repudiated what he had done. He said, quote, you fundamentally can't change sex. Transsexualism, that's the word he used, quote, was invented by psychiatrists. And that's absolutely true. You can't change sex any more than you can change species, Chuck. If you're a woman, every cell in your body is imprinted with your XX genotype. That's just the way it is. Can't change it. You can mutilate yourself. A man could be involved in an accident where he loses his genitalia, right? That has happened in history, in warfare, for instance. That doesn't make him female. That just makes him a poor, mutilated male. It's the same thing here. You're not changing what you are by changing superficial characteristics. And as Dr. Paul McHugh, who used to be the head psychiatrist, I believe, at Johns Hopkins put it, he said, we shouldn't be trying to change these people's bodies. We should be working on changing their minds. That's what we should be doing. But anyway, I'll just follow up or close the loop on this Pella story. You know, I mentioned earlier that the city of Pella, Chuck, didn't seem very sympathetic to the residents who were concerned about propriety. It just said in a statement, quote, city has reviewed the PAC matter, that's the Pella Aquatic Center matter, with legal counsel, and no further action will be taken. The city considers this matter concluded. And I pointed out, well, wait a second. If these people really cared about right and wrong, these city fathers, Chuck, and they had a little bit more imagination, well, more might be left to the imagination at their pool. And here's an idea for them. Now, it may sound ridiculous, but you can tackle ridiculousness with ridiculousness. Here's one possible workaround. Enact a law stating that you must wear a top if you have mammary glands. That's how you can get around this one way, okay? Now, that wouldn't be viewed as discrimination that violates state's law. Why? Well, because the issue currently, Chuck, is that since men don't have to wear tops and must women identify as male, you're engaging in illegal discrimination if you don't treat them as you do, quote, other men. But if you delineate things based on anatomy, you avoid that whole problem, don't you? All right?
You do. Yep.
Now, I know this is just a stopgap measure, and it's not going to solve the underlying problem, but this is what you do if you want to push back, and then you take it from there. But is it likely to happen? No. What's more likely to happen, if anything, Chuck, is that maybe we'll see men and boys be forced to cover their tops in the name of equality. I mean, who knows what's going to happen here. But it just
It's almost like the Pella people, I got elected, now leave me alone. You know what I mean? I don't want to talk
about it. Yeah, they're cowards. They're cowards. You know, most politicians are just concerned with staying in office. I mean, that's one of the problems we have with any representative system. What kind of person is attracted to politics? Well, someone who's seeking power, a power monger. And a person like that cares about power first and foremost, and he's going to do what he has to do to protect his position of power. So that's a problem that we have. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Duke, I can't believe I dropped the mister. I got two stories here. One of them, can you guess why there's a media blackout on this unarmed 17-year-old that was shot by a cop? Very interesting. When I first looked at it, I said, Hunter Biden? No, it was Hunter Britton, but you know how my eyes are. But the other one, see, and we can only do one, and we're only going to have like maybe 4 minutes total on the whole thing, four or five. The other one is studying the risk of CO2 as a deadly problem in kids' bodies because of face masks. So which one would you like to do? And we have 1 minute before we have to do that first break and then, you know, very little time. So which one do you want to touch on?
Well, why don't we do the face mask story, if that's okay.
Right.
But it's hard to choose, actually.
It is, yes. By the way, the answer was he was media blackout because the kid was white. You can read the whole thing at selwynduke.com. So wearing a mask, 45 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I ask in my piece, are we going to one day view masking children as being akin to giving them radium candy, which was done at one time? You know, radium is a radioactive substance that's present in nature, and at one time, people thought it had all sorts of curative qualities. This was in the early 1900s. And really, it seems we may end up viewing it that way because yet another study, Chuck, has shown that putting kids in masks to prevent COVID-19 is not just unnecessary, it's actually highly dangerous to their health. And this study has to do with the inhalation of CO2, your own CO2, to the point where CO2 levels in your body become dangerously high. And this was something I heard about a long time ago, and I sort of dismissed it as sounding maybe a little too fanciful, but this study we're going to talk about actually indicates that it's reality.
Absolutely. Hey, you got to remember the website, Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .com, selwynduke.com, and he writes for The New American. And we'll continue in just a moment.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, fever, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, and discussing rising CO2 as a deadly problem in kids' bodies because of face masks. Please continue, Selwyn, and I'll just jump in there whenever we're getting ready to say adios. How's that?
Okay, yeah. You know, we've heard a lot of bad things about these face masks, how they can become like pathogen-laden petri dishes on people's faces. They can restrict oxygen intake, and even that you may be inhaling dangerous plastic microparticles when you're wearing them. But now we have a study out of Poland and Germany showing that, yeah, this inhalation of CO2 issue can be a real problem. Now, we have to understand one thing when we're talking about masking kids. First of all, it's unnecessary. We understand that more kids die in pool drownings every year than have died thus far of COVID. Okay, that's a staggering statistic. Then we also have a number from the federal government that just 0.06% of all COVID fatalities in our country have been Americans under age 18. And I often point out that according to the CDC, if you're 0 to 19 years old and you contract the coronavirus, your chances of survival are 99.997%. So it's less dangerous to kids, Chuck, than the flu is. So why do you mask kids? But now you have another good reason not to do so, okay? Now here I'm quoting Tucker Carlson. This study is out of Germany and Poland. Quote, a new study on masks and children has been conducted by actual researchers in Germany and Poland. It was just published in JAMA Pediatrics, the premier peer-reviewed pediatric medical journal in the world. That study confirms that masking children wasn't simply unnecessary and probably counterproductive. It actually was legitimately dangerous for the children. In the study, researchers asked 45 kids between the ages of 6 and 17 to wear face masks for a very short period of time in a controlled environment. Within just 3 minutes, Chuck, they found that kids were inhaling carbon dioxide up to more than 6 times the acceptable limit for adults. The younger the children, the higher the concentration of carbon dioxide. Almost immediately after putting a mask on a 7-year-old, that kid's carbon dioxide level was 25,000 parts per million. How much is that? Well, it's more than twice the level considered hazardous for adults in workplaces in this country. For example, the Minnesota Department of Health posted this guideline, quote, the average concentration of carbon dioxide over an 8-hour period should not exceed 10,000 parts per million. But that kid had 25,000 parts per million. And keep in mind, the guidance is just for an 8-hour period. This study found far higher concentrations in just minutes after putting on a mask. Imagine a full school day and what it would do to a child. How about a full school year? How about a full school year of days? Think about that. And the effects are measurable and have been for a while, but they have been ignored. Okay, and it goes on from there, but you know, the point is that there is no good reason to put masks on kids. Is this study valid or not? I guess time will tell. But what you do is you do a cost-benefit analysis anytime you assess whether there's going to be a medical intervention with respect to your child. And here the cost-benefit analysis is very clear. Don't mask your kids.
Yep. And then they say, you didn't have your mask on. Put that mask on, and I want you to do 20 laps as punishment. Okay. Boy, I'll tell you. Hey, Selwyn, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Look forward to our next visit.
Yep.
Selwyn Duke.
God bless.
God bless you. Selwyn Duke, the new American, and his website, Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .com. D, oh yeah, com, C-O-M, you got it. Hey, thank you very much, Jeremy Dayton, and please remember that absolutely no animals were injured during the production of this here program.